Good morning. What impact is your faith having in others? It's a legitimate question. What kind of impact is our faith having in the world? And especially those who are in our family, those who we call friends, those who we work with, those who we go to school with. What impact is our faith really having on them? And that's a question that we need to see today through the life of Noah. Well, I know it's a familiar story. Noah built the big boat. But there's so much more than this Sunday school lesson that we're used to. There's so much more about this man and this man's faith that we can see and apply today. Why do we need to go through this? Well, we're going through Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11, and it is the faith chapter. It is the hall of fame of faith. The writer of Hebrews is using these people one at a time from the Old Testament who walked by faith in order to show the people of the Hebrew church not to leave Christ to go back to the Old Covenant. Why? Because you're saved by faith in Christ, not by works. And he takes time to go through. So we talked about Abel. Abel had this worshiping faith. Last week we talked about Enoch. Enoch had a walk with God, a walking faith. Today we talk about Noah. And it's very important that we take time for each one of these. We're going to inch along like a worm through Hebrews 11. Why? Because we are not as familiar with all of these characters that the author names as the original audience was. He was talking to Hebrew Christians, people who left Judaism to follow Christ. They knew all these Old Testament people. We may have a brief understanding, but the more we learn about them, it's amazing the faith that they had walking with God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Hebrews chapter 11, one verse, verse 7. One verse, verse 7. You'll be amazed how long a preacher can preach off of one verse. I love what R.C. Sproul said. He said, "The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. Do we take God at His word? Do we really believe what God has told us in His word? And do we live our lives accordingly?" So we read together this one verse, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let's pray together. Father God, today, walk with us through this journey. Take your word, or peel back the layers that sometimes we cover over. And God, let your Holy Spirit penetrate to the very core of our being. Teach us what faith looks like, and how we are to act, and how we are to live, and how we are to magnify you, God, through your Son, Jesus. As we walk and ride the ark with Noah this morning, in your name we pray, amen. So in this one verse of Scripture, we have this story of Noah. Really, it's Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, all compacted into one verse. So we have to unpack some things to really grasp Noah and the faith that he held. So we need to look at the spiritual condition that Noah was living in. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. what was going on in Noah's day that God was so angry about that he sent judgment. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man. It was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord," is what verse 8 says. So here we are, we have this picture of what was going on spiritually in Noah's day. It was a time that men were in deep depravity. There was a time that everybody acted selfishly. The Bible says that their thoughts and their intentions were always evil, 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 evil. They were always looking out for number one, how they could best suit themselves rather than what pleased God. Kind of sounds familiar, huh? Kind of sounds like 2021 in America, or really in the world. Whatever goes for me, whatever benefits me, is what I'll do. Well, this is what Noah was dealing with even in his day. What was going on in Noah's day? Wickedness was great, very great. Every intent, the thoughts of their hearts, was only evil continually. So this description sounds familiar to us. We can see it even around us. So Jesus spoke of a similar pattern in the world leading up to the return, his return, and the judgment that would follow it. Matter of fact, we see over in Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, listen to what Jesus says about the end times that we're living in today. That's why it sounds so familiar. Jesus says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man." Listen, these words of Jesus are to stir our urgency to be about God's business. Things will not get better. There are a lot of people thinking that the government programs and this and that, that men would just naturally become better people. Wrong. We are selfish. We have a bent, selfish nature for whatever pleases ourselves. Things grow from bad to worse. That's not trying to be pessimistic. That's just being understanding what Christ is telling us here, is that before he comes again, the life and the world that we live in progressively gets worse, and he compares it to the days of Noah. So the spiritual condition of the people during Noah's day was deep depravity. What was the physical condition of the earth during Noah's time? Well, something we noticed immediately, if you remember last week, we talked about Enoch, and there were 10 generations between Adam and Noah. Those 10 generations, people lived a long time. And if you have anxiety, you had anxiety for a long time. If you didn't sleep well at night, you lost a lot of night sleeps. People were living into the 900s. I didn't mean days or months. I mean years. The average age of people was 700 years old. I don't know any 700-year-olds today. If you reach 100, that's a big milestone. If you reach 90, that's a huge milestone. But back in the days of Noah, people were living a long, long life. Even though their hearts were continuously rebelling against God, people were still living a long life. There's a theory out there among creationists, people who believe God's word and how God created the world, There's a theory out there in the creationist community called the water canopy theory. This suggests that there was a water canopy surrounding the earth that protected the inhabitants of the earth against the harmful ultraviolet rays of the sun. A few unique things from this water canopy theory that does seem to answer some things for us, including maybe why people were living so long, even in a very depraved time. So we can derive some insights about this possible water canopy. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, this is where they kind of get it from. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, "Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning a second day." So let's get this picture. What we're seeing in Scripture and where this theory is beginning to take form and take shape, that there's a water canopy around the earth, is based on this verse that when God in creation on the second day, he created the earth, but it was full of water, and he separated water on the earth from water in the sky, and there's this atmosphere that we have. He called it the heavens. So when we look up, we look into the heavens, not heaven, the kingdom of God. We're looking at the heavens. So in this theory, if it's true, if this is true about the water canopy around the earth, it would have created a greenhouse effect where temperature and environmental conditions would be literally the same or very similar around the globe. So if you were at the equator or in Hawaii, it'd be the same things if you were in Alaska. This greenhouse effect where everything seemed to be about the same temperature and life could thrive. We don't know all the details and in and outs, and we could spend a lot of time speculating, but what we just have to understand is that life during Noah's day upon the earth was a lot different than it is today. There are a lot of things that were going on, and Scripture backs it up, that we have a hard time grasping, and we're still trying to research and understand more and more about. So if, in fact, there was a water canopy surrounding the earth, and in fact, that it had never rained, then how did God provide enough water to flood the world 22 and a half feet above the highest mountain peak? It's a good question. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, "Now no shrub of the field was yet upon the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise up from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground." God used streams and this natural misting system to water all the plants upon the earth because it had never rained. So during Noah's day, everything was watered from underneath. Talk about a wicking system. There was this mist, and there was these streams, but never any rain. So we're beginning to understand a little bit more about what happened in Noah's day according to Scripture. So God used this same system along with rainfall for the very first time in all of known man's known history to flood the earth during Noah's day. From never having rained to having 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain. Whew, sounds like Louisiana. Maybe we can see that was a collapse in this water canopy at God's command to judge the world. Genesis chapter 7, verse 10 through 12. It came about after 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. That brother was old. In the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened, and rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, this gives us some understanding. So all the earth under this greenhouse effect, and God watered through this streams and through these fountains coming up out of the ground, they burst open and the rain began to fall, torrential rain and flood waters coming from the top and through the bottom. And it lifted the ark up and began to float. We can begin to see how God's judgment, according to Scripture, came about. Life was a lot different during Noah's day as compared to today. There were no tornadoes and hurricanes during Noah's time. There was no rain. But all of a sudden, God's judgment is poured out upon the world. This gives us a spiritual and physical condition of the earth and its inhabitants during Noah's time. This demonstrates the magnitude of Noah's faith in God. Spiritually, the hearts of people were towards sin and selfishness. That's all they wanted to do. So Noah was preaching for all this time to people who didn't want to hear it. They were being judged. They didn't want to hear anything Noah had to say about this God who was going to send a flood to the world to wipe us all out. Ha! That was spiritually. Physically, it had never rained before. Think about what Noah was asked to do. It never rained before, yet all the inhabitants lived in this pristine environment. Could you imagine living in Hawaii? It never rained. It was beautiful sunshine. You could lay on the beach all you wanted. Just go ahead and get up and go pick some fruit and eat all you wanted. That was the environment. Man. Now think about what God told Noah to do. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Make for yourself, telling Noah. So Noah had this relationship with God. He says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark, and it shall cover it with inside and outside and all of its rooms with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. A cubic is 18 inches, so that means it's 450 feet long, a football and a half foot long. Its breadth, or its width of it, is 50 cubits. That's 75 feet wide. And its height is 30 cubits. That's 45 feet high, 4.5 stories high. A football field and a half long, 4.5 stories high, 75 feet wide. And then you shall make a window in it, a window. Finish it to a cubic from the top. In other words, 18 inches from the top. Noah, you have one window. That's it. Finish it. Then set the door in the ark, so there's one door, on the side of it. You shall make it with the lower and second and third decks. So he's going to have three decks inside this big boat. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind. And then there's some scripture gives us that there were seven birds and certain types of clean animals. But you'll bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you, and they shall be male and female. Verse says, as for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it for yourself, and it shall be for food for you and them, the animals." Wait a minute. Let's get a picture of this monumental task. Noah has a relationship with God. He walks with God, and he's happy. The world around him is falling apart, and he's preaching. And he's living his life, and his family sees the faith that he has in God. And one day, God is sick of what everybody's doing. He's going to destroy the world. So he comes to Noah, the only righteous man, the one who's found favor in his eyes. He tells Noah, "All right, got something for you to do." And I'm sure Noah was excited about that. "Lord, what do you have me to do?" "Need you to build a boat." "A big boat, Noah. Make it about 450 feet long. "How long, God?" "So you're not talking about a boat just to go across the river over it." "Nope. 450 feet long. I need this thing 75 feet wide, and I need it 45 feet high. Put you some rooms on three different decks. And then you're going to put a window in it, and you're going to put a door in it, and we're going to send you some animals, two of every kind, male and a female, so they can reproduce. God, what are you doing? I'm destroying the world because I'm sick of the sin here." The scripture says that it broke God's heart and that he was sorry that he'd ever made mankind. He says, "You do this, then you and your family go out there and pick some, go make some groceries. Go out there and gather what you need for you and your family to eat. Oh, and get enough for all these animals and the critters that are coming. You need some food for them too." Now you think about the monumental task that God had just given to Noah, and the only thing there was faith. Oh, Noah. Now, it probably was one of us. We'd go back and check our medicines, make sure we didn't get two of the wrong things and didn't cross it up. You know, were we hearing voices? Did we hear something that wasn't going on right? Did God really say that? We would probably be questioning God. "I don't know. God, I don't think he said that. I think I just need to love my neighbor like myself, and I'm good, you know." Nope, build a boat. This monumental task Noah was told to do. See, Noah walked in faith with God in this intense, intimate relationship. And how do we know this? Verse 7 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Noah." Wait a minute. Noah had this faith. What would your reaction be to God if he had just commissioned you to such a task, this scope and this magnitude? What would your reaction be like? Noah had a reaction, and he was faithful. What would your reaction do if God told you to do something that seemed so outlandish and so bigger than you? You see, most of us, God has given us something bigger than us to do. Either we refuse to do it, or we think God's crazy, or we doubt ourselves. But we won't walk by faith. How did Noah respond? Verse 7 says, "By faith on the word of God." By faith, get it. It had never rained before. And God was commissioning Noah to build a boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. And it never rained. Think about what Noah had never seen. He never seen rainfall from the sky. He had never experienced flooding before. He had never seen a boat this large. They may have built a little boats to go across the river or across the bayou, whatever they had during their time. Small things to go out and catch a few fish. But he never seen a situation even where his family was in danger of being totally annihilated unless he acted in faith. He never seen any of this. Noah had never seen the deaths of multiple thousands of people and thousands of animals. And some of those people were his neighbors and his friends. Noah had never constructed an ark before. God, I've never done this before. And it came with just brief instructions, and there was a laid out plan in front of him. Nor has Noah seen worldwide judgment. But Noah believed by faith. He believed, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah walked and witnessed and warned others about the coming judgment God used. All based on God's word. All based on what God told him. He had not seen any of this. He's never seen rain. He's never seen an ark. He's never seen cataclysmic things happen in his life. He's never seen people wiped out by the hundreds of thousands. He's never seen animals wiped off the face of the earth. He's never seen any of that. But Noah believed God by faith. Faith, Noah, being warned. See, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Everybody loves verse 1 because it tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance, verse 1 says, of things hoped for. For Noah, what things? Well, verse 7 says, the salvation of his household. Noah did not see all this stuff, but God told him, this is the only way that your household will be saved, is if you build this ark and do exactly what I've told you to do. Noah walked by faith, even though he had not seen anything yet. That's faith. And faith is conviction of things not seen. What things had he not seen? He had not seen rain. He had not seen floods. He did not see springs overflowing and storms and judgment and ark and massive human and animal death totals. He had not seen any of that. But he believed God's word and that was going to happen. See, faith is bringing the unseen into the seen and the things hoped for into reality. He hoped that his family would be saved. And the only way that his family could be saved is if he trusted God 100% right now and did exactly what God told him to do. You know how long it took him? 120 years of building. That's perseverance. How did Noah respond? In faith. Verse 7 tells us, the middle part of it says, in reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. What does in reverence mean? That means that he was moved with fear, a holy fear. He was moved with a godly fear. This is an eternal, internal experience that what God told him. He believed God, and not just with his head, but his whole being. Everything about him trusted God. That God told him this, he believed it, and he went to work. That was an internal belief. This is something that he just digested into the very core of his being, and he went to work for God. Listen, when we have faith in God, it's an internal thing. It's not an external thing. It's an internal thing that expresses itself externally. When we do the things that God has commissioned us to do. Oh, today, can we grasp the magnitude of faith that Noah had to trust God at his word, even though there's things he had never seen before, never heard about? He was just taking God simply at his word. And he went to work. He was just so in love with God, trusting God. He'd internalized that. You know what? Sometimes we'll go to church a while we feel like it. Or things aren't going so good in our lives. We figure we need God to help us a little bit more. So we just show up a little bit. Listen, that's not faith. That's superstition. No, faith is when things are good, you walk in with God. Things are bad, you walk in with God. When life seems to be falling apart, you walk in with God. Or everything seems to be going your way, you're still walking with God. That's faith. Why? Because it's an internal thing that expresses itself externally. It's that you are in this relationship with God. When God's word tells you to do this, you do it. Even though you can't see it, even though you can't imagine it, God's word is there. You believe God's word, let's walk it. Because we know that when we do God's word, it's going to be all right. How did Noah pull off such a thing? First of all, the question comes in, how did Noah get in this place in his faith? God told Noah about the coming judgment, the world was going to flood, the massive ark, the gathering of animals, and the collecting of the flood of the food that needed to be done during this duration, their time upon the ark. How did he pull it off? God gave him all these instructions to do. How did Noah pull it off? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. It was his walk with God that got him to where he pulled it off. That the Lord was with him all the way. Before God gave Noah the task of faith to save his family from the coming judgment, Noah walked with God. Listen to what the Amplified Version says in that same verse. Amplified Version takes the Greek and just kind of gives you all the little nuances of all the words. And Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and had right standing with God, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. We must get this important lesson. We have to get it. If there's nothing else we get today, let's get this. Before the storm had been announced to Noah, he had a serious fellowship with God. Noah had a relationship with the Lord. It's because he had a relationship with the Lord that God warned him about the flood coming and commissioned him to build an ark. He was not saved because he built an ark. He built the ark because he was saved. You'll never go to heaven because of what you do and the work that you do trying to please God. You go to heaven because of the relationship that you have with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's because of Christ, the faith that you have, that relationship that you have, is what you go to work and serve Him to give God glory for. That's the proper order. We need to have a serious faith. Listen, you and I will experience storms in life. Matter of fact, you may be approaching a storm right now in your life that's coming over the horizon that you don't even see yet. Noah was in that place. He didn't see a storm coming. He didn't see a flood coming, but he trusted God. There are storms coming in your life that you know nothing about yet. Are you walking by faith? Matter of fact, you may be in the middle of a storm right now. Are you walking by faith? Is your foundation on Christ? Jesus tells this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. He talks about these two builders, and the wise man built his house upon the rock, and when the rains came and the floods came and the wind beat against it, it did not move. Why? Because it was built on the rock. Then he talked about a foolish man who didn't want to hear anything about this rock business. He liked the beach. So he built his house on the shifting sand. And the winds came and the rains fell and the floods came and hit against it and it destroyed it. And it says, great was its fall. You see, today, if you're basing your walk on anything other than Jesus Christ, if you're basing it on your works, if you're basing it on your religious behaviors and the things that you do, like going to church and all those things, if that's all the faith that you have, you'll be wiped away when the storms hit your life. We have to be on the rock. Jesus is our rock. His word is our foundation. The goal is to live in serious faith with Jesus before the storms come. Think about it. Storms are not allowed in your life to shipwreck you. They come to reset your spiritual compass and to refine the authenticity of your faith. How genuine is your faith, really? You know what happens? When things in the world start going wrong, the church grows. But things in the world start going right. People have a job. There's a chicken in every pot. Everybody has a gumbo going. People don't seem to need the Lord so much then. It's true. A lot of people getting their stimulus check right now. Life is good. No, it's not. You see, your walk with God has to be consistent before the storm comes. Just take him at his word, believe what he says in his word, and walk by faith. Have this relationship. Noah walked by faith, and what did he do? Verse 7 says he prepared an ark. He built a big old boat. Hang here with me. I'm working through it. Noah was commissioned to build the ark because he had this loving and intense faith in God. Noah could have responded by not building a boat. He could have said, no, Lord, you got the wrong person. I don't do boat. Ark's not in my resume, Lord. I'm not gifted enough to do that. It sounds like church people. I'm not gifted enough to do that. That's just not what I do. God probably looked at it and said, no, you have an axe? Yep, you're qualified. You have faith, you're qualified. He could have abandoned God's request, you know, just ignored him, checked his medicine, whatever. But Noah didn't run, he didn't hide, he didn't rebel. Noah went to work. He went to chopping trees down. He was looking for these gopher wood, which is more like a cypress tree. He began to chop these down, probably employing whoever he could. He got his sons to help him. He's got his daughter-in-laws to help him. He has everybody. You know, if he had a little bit of money, he probably had to hire some young guys to work with him and chop trees down. 450-foot boat, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. This little lanyard. That's a 30-5-3 ratio. Marine engineers use the same ratio as they build vessels, cargo vessels across the globe. Same ratio of dimensions. You know, this ark he's building, just another one for you. The ark is really a foreshadowing of the gospel message of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Only those with faith in God were on the ark that got saved through the judgment of God. Only those who have faith in Jesus Christ make it through the judgment in the very end. Different sermon. Verse 7 says, really in verse 7, we see that Noah is serious about the Lord. Because he's serious, he gets busy preparing the ark. And this gives us the correct understanding and the correlation and the relationship between faith and works. Noah had faith first. He had a personal, intentional relationship with God where he walked with God day in and day out. And because Noah had faith, God commissioned him to build the ark in order to save his family. And Noah responded by faith to start building. Now we understand James 2:18 a little bit better. But someone may say, well, you have faith and I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. What if Noah had faith but did not do what God told him to do? Think about it. Noah, righteous man, has this relationship with God. God tells him to build an ark. And he says, well, God, I think I'm a little too old. I'm 600 years old. Can't do it. I'm tired of hearing people say I'm too old to do that anymore. Noah's 600. He grabbed an axe and went to work. But if he said, God, I'm too old to do that, and just ignored what God said, you know what? Noah would have had faith, but it had been worthless. And I wonder today how many people who have their name on a church roll, who say that they believe in Jesus, who say that they go to this church or that church, but God has commissioned them to do something, like be a witness for Him, and they refuse to do it. According to Scripture, their faith is worthless. I heard a preacher tell a guy one time, he said, man, your faith is not worth 15 cents. It's home. It's home. Hang with me, I'm about done. Man, we really need to ask ourselves, what is our faith inspiring us to do? See, what we do is evidence of the depth of the faith that we possess. What's going on in your life right now that proves the genuineness of your faith? What's going on in your life today that proves the genuineness of your faith? This one man, Noah, obeyed God in this monumental task of building an ark. He obeyed God. And because of this one man's faith, it impacted the world. All of us, it doesn't matter where you're from, we can trace our lineage all the way back to Noah. Why? Because there was no one else on the earth left. God destroyed them all in judgment because of their sin. And only Noah, his wife, and his three sons survived. How many times did Noah's wife and daughters thank him for his faith? Now listen, when Noah went and told his wife and his sons, hey, God commissioned us to build a big old boat, they're probably thinking a fishing boat. They're going out to the bay. They're going out to the river, do a little snagging or something. No. 450 feet long. I wonder if their kids kind of looked at each other like, Pop's losing it. He's 600. He's losing it. He's not going to make 900. I don't know, but I do know this. They trusted that their father-in-law husband had such a relationship with the Lord that when the Lord told him to do something and he went out and started cutting trees, it was a done deal. They went to help him. Even though they didn't understand it, they may have murmured among themselves a little bit as they went along, because they didn't get it from God Himself. But when the rains begin to fall, when they walked on that ark and all those animals there, and that God shut the door, Scripture says, and the springs begin to burst forth, and the floodgates from heaven begin to rain down, I believe they looked at their daddy and said, thank you. We didn't know if this was going to be true, but thank you. because they realized that their whole life had been saved, that their family would continue on because of one man's faith. Had Noah influenced and infected his whole family, and they were saved because he believed God at his word. Daddy, are you believing God at his word? Mom, are you believing God at his word? And does your life reflect that, or is your life betraying your profession? You see, I don't know all the comments these families made to Noah, but I'm sure they were grateful. Those long, hard days in the ark for nearly a year, they were grateful because they were alive and nobody else was. You know what burns me? Hang here with me. I do a lot of funerals. I get that obituary. And I read the obituary and I see what the family have said about their loved one. It always stands out when they mention about, you know, Mama was a loved the Lord. She had the relationship with a daddy. Daddy was a spiritual leader in our family. He was this and that. But that's rare. You know what I usually get? Mama made good biscuits. Mama was a great cook. She made the best rice and gravy. Daddy was an outdoorsman. He loved to hunt and fish. He was an avid, that's a big word, avid outdoorsman. Let me tell you something. When I'm dead and I'm in front of this church, if the best thing my family can tell them is about, well, he was a good woodworker. Well, he made some mean pancakes. If that's all they've got to say about me when I come to the end of my life, shame on me. Because I didn't walk the walk of faith that impacted my very own family. And you know what? Where are you about that? What will your family say in your obituary when you're laid out in front of the church and everybody comes by and sad that you're leaving? Is the best thing they can say is that you made good jelly? Is the best thing they can say is that you caught a lot of fish? Or can they say, Daddy walked with God? Daddy just took God at his word. Simple faith. Believing a God that he couldn't see, but he knew he was there. What will the testimony of your faith be? What will your kids and your grandkids say about you? How has your faith impacted them? I'm closing. You see, Noah's faith was so impactful, verse 7 says, by which he condemned the world. He preached for 120 years about the sin of man and the coming judgment of God over it. And the people ignored him. And when his family went on that ark and God shut the door, they were all condemned. You see, there comes a day that the grace of God is withdrawn. The day of salvation is no longer available. The ark door has been shut. A lot of part of verse 7 says, Noah. He was an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Think about it. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man. Listen, this is not a righteousness that he earned on his own. This is a righteousness because he trusted God, took him at his word, looking forward not only to the judgment of God, but God's bigger plan. He put his faith in a Savior that he could not see yet. and his faith was imputed to him as righteousness. Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah was not saved because he built the ark. He built the ark because he was saved. Verse 7, because Noah found grace, he became an heir to the kingdom. Listen, church, we have to be serious about our faith. We need revival. We need personal revival. We get serious about, like Noah did, about our faith. Do we quit playing games with God? Because God's not in the game playing. We kind of duck in and duck out with God, duck in, duck out with God. God's not amused. Noah impacted a whole world because of his faith. Not only his family right there, but a whole world. When you're laid out in front of a church, what impact has your faith made in others while you're alive? Because your obituary will reveal a lot from the very people who are closest to you about what really went on in your life. Jesus, our good Jenny. Jesus, are you like the squirrel hunt? Make a good movie. Jesus. What about you? Let's pray together. Father God, today, sermon hits home, God. Just for too long, we just kind of looked over Noah in the ark. Look at the impact that his faith made not only his family, but even in us today. And God, our faith is impacting someone in some way. God, may everyone in the sound of my voice understand that their faith is not just a personal thing. It's personal between them and God, but it goes so much further. God, I pray today for a faith that is genuine, faith that is authentic, that we internalize and live accordingly, and that it is reflected in everything that we do. Be with us now, Lord. Have your way in our service as we conclude in Jesus' name.